Welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. In my small group Bible study at church, we recently explored the topic of forgiveness, especially within the context of friendships. We talked about how essential forgiveness is to our walk with Christ and to forming healthy, lasting relationships. Yet, I'm sure if we were all being honest, many of us wrestle with forgiving the way God forgives. From Genesis to Revelation, the themes of God's love and forgiveness run consistently through the scriptures. And I imagine many of you listening today have experienced both sides of this reality. You've been hurt by others, and you've also been the one who caused hurt. It's a painful truth of living in a broken world. No one escapes life without offense. But learning to model godly forgiveness is vital to walking out our faith. It's a way of reflecting the grace we ourselves have received. As children of God and followers of Christ, we are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. Jesus also sends us to share the good news with the world. But discipleship is not just about what we do, it's about who we are. It's a character shaped by grace, a life set apart, marked by love and mercy. And this is why understanding how to forgive like God is so essential. We've all heard the phrase, forgive and forget. I know I've sat in many rooms where this idea was deeply debated. Some feel strongly that forgiveness must include forgetting, while others wrestle with how that's even possible. You see, I kind of land somewhere in between, and that led me to ponder that question and into a scripture adventure. And I want to share some of what I discovered with you. First, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? Seeking forgiveness from God begins with humility and a desire for redemption. When we confess our sins, we acknowledge the separation we've created between us and God. But God doesn't just ask for acknowledgement. He calls us to turn from our sin. Forgiveness requires action on our part and God's. John tells us that when we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Isaiah tells us that God blots out our transgressions for his sake. We see in Micah that he speaks of God having compassion, placing our sins under his foot and hurling them into the depths of the sea. And then David says that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Again and again, we see the faithfulness of God in restoring his people into a covenant relationship, one upheld by grace and overflowing with love. But notice something. Scripture does not say God forgets our sins. It says he chooses not to remember them. There's a big difference. Forgetting is passive, but choosing not to remember, that's intentional. It's powerful. And it's love. For me, modeling godly forgiveness means I extend grace, love, and obedience. I release the person from the offense, not because they deserve it, but because I've been forgiven first. The same grace God gave me through Jesus' death on the cross is now a gift I get to offer to others. And what we learn from Scripture is that God doesn't recall our sins to torment or manipulate us. He doesn't use them as leverage. And this is where we get hung up. We assume godly forgiveness must mean forgetting, but I believe it's more about choosing not to recall someone's wrong with the intention to punish or harm. Let's revisit Micah. Look at chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Here he says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." This image of God casting sin into the sea is striking. In biblical times, the sea wasn't a place of exploration. It was a terrifying abyss. Throwing sins into those depths means they are gone for good. It's not that God forgot them. It's that he chose never to fish them back out. And then in Psalms 103, David celebrates God's mercy and forgiveness. The imagery of sins being separated as far as the east is from the west shows us just how far God removes our transgressions. They are unrecoverable, not forgotten, but fully removed. So what does this mean for us? Modeling godly forgiveness doesn't mean we hand out someone a get out of jail free card. It means we extend the same mercy and compassion that was extended to us. It means we separate ourselves from the sin, sometimes by setting boundaries and sometimes by walking away entirely. But it always involves choosing love over bitterness and mercy over revenge. And in doing so, we walk more freely, more faithfully, and more closely with the heart of God. As we close today, I want to encourage you to ask yourself, who in your life do you need to release through forgiveness? Not by forgetting, but by choosing not to carry the weight of their offense any longer. And how has God's forgiveness shaped your understanding of grace? And how can you model that same grace in your relationships this week? Let me pray with you. Lord, thank you for your gift of your forgiveness, a forgiveness that is full of grace, compassion, and love. Help us to model that same mercy in our own lives. Teach us to release offenses, not out of weakness, but in strength that comes from you. May we walk in freedom, choosing love over bitterness and grace over judgment. In Jesus' name, amen.